let's go to Romans 8. We're still studying this, looking from the top down. Do what?
He told me what page Fernando did, and I told him we finally got him trained.
Verse 7. Well, let's start in verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind. To mind just means to give importance to. To mind. They that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. So they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Now, the whole point of this is that we are no longer debtors to the flesh. That means we owe our flesh nothing. And this has been especially hard for me because my flesh seems to be controlling my life with the pain. But I have to always remember that I owe the flesh nothing. I owe it. And when you see that, then the things that you used to be give you pause to doubt, then you no longer doubt because you owe the flesh nothing. But if you owe it nothing but you give it some importance, then you lose the whole thing, because then you're walking after the flesh instead of after the Spirit.
Yeah, let's see, A9 says if you're kind of says it pretty directly that if you're walking in the flesh, you're none of Christ. You have nothing in Christ.
Is that, anybody want to discuss that?
What does it mean to owe? You owe the flesh nothing. Or what do we owe it when we do owe it?
What do we owe it? We owe it everything. That's what our life is, the flesh.
You got to feed it. You got to exercise it.
You've got to give your mind. Mostly, it deals with the mind. You've got to give something that you have, your mind, some importance. You got to give what your thoughts are some importance. That's what it means when you owe the flesh nothing. If you don't give the, it's your mind that decides whether you have you're a debtor to the flesh or not.
If you're spiritually minded, then you still, with your mind, give things to Spirit.
You can't be spiritually minded and still give any importance to the flesh.
No, I didn't say that.
Well, I thought that's what you said.
If you're
sorry.
Spiritually minded, you give things of importance to God and to Himself. You eschew the flesh.
Yeah, you owe it nothing. But what does it mean to owe the flesh something? Anybody? We are not debtors to the flesh if you're in the Spirit. Because you are dead.
If we owe the flesh then something, then we are led by our mind. We decide.
Right.
We decide what we're going to do, set our own agenda.
Right, it's endless what you mold, because you see all of the activities of your mind are what is the flesh.
You know, maybe it has to do with hearing the things of God and then trying to incorporate them into the benefit of the flesh. So we want to mold the flesh some spiritual advantage, as opposed to picking up the cross or dying to self or whatever it is. So we don't have whatever things are gained to me or lost to Christ that would come in.
Well, just think of the number of things that you give importance to vis-a-vis your flesh. They're endless. And that's what we have to come out of. Because until we know that it's faith alone by which we live, then we're always going to have a mixture of flesh and spirit. And that can't happen. I mean, it happens, but it can't happen in the kingdom of God. All right?
I was thinking the only thing that you would owe the flesh would be its destruction, which would mean your constant repentance.
I didn't hear the last part.
You said, owing the flesh, I thought it would be, all we owe it is its destruction, which would be our repeated repentance. That's the only thing I feel like I owe the flesh, is to keep coming.
Right, but that's by definition, and you don't owe it anything. Because from a spiritual standpoint, you are dead.
I am dead, but then I resurrect myself, and then I.
But that's when you resurrect something, that's when you give. Then that's when you owe the flesh something.
Then I repent again.
Hmm?
Then I repent again.
Right, and it's almost like a base of it's hard for me to think right now, but fundamentally what we do. And it sometimes, as we've talked about, takes a long time. It's not I becoming anything except death. And it's not I getting better in some ways. It's not I doing this or I doing that. It's either flesh or spirit. It's digital. It's not analog. But if it becomes analog, because you know the difference between analog and digital? It's confirmed. We are dead. It says it over and over and over in the Bible. We are dead. And it says it so often so that we will believe it. But we are dead. That death means that there's nothing about your mind and the things of the world that you owe it anything to. And that's the critical issue of coming to this place that we've talked about so often. You know, Christ is in you, but he's in all men. But God wants you in Christ. Where there is no, but you can't be in Christ and still give the world any importance. And so that's why this is so critical to see, that you owe the flesh and the world nothing. And we, you know, this is, we've studied this for 40 years, and we still end up thinking that we owe the flesh stuff. Anyway.
What about the people in the world? Do we owe them anything?
Well, look. Let's go to Jude and see. Verse 17, but beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. And ungodly lust doesn't mean they're out screwing. It means they're still following the desires and wants of their mind. That's the ungodly lust.
I'm glad Gary asked that question. What was your question? Do we owe the people of the world?
Well, we're going to get to that.
And I'm struggling with that with my father's situation.
These are they who separate themselves sensual, having not the Spirit. But you, beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. So what you owe... On some have compassion, making a difference. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. That's what we owe the world. And the other thing you owe the world is be a watchman, the watchman's duty. But you own, that's it. Let's go look at it again. We look at it all the time, but let's go to Revelation 3. No, that's not right. Ezekiel 3. Verse 16. And it came to pass at the end of 7 days that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, Thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to him, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. And if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you shall be delivered. He shall die in iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy own soul. Again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die. Because thou hast not given him warning, he shall die in his sin. And his righteousness which he hath done shall not be remembered, but his blood will I require at your hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous that the righteous sin not, and he does not sin, he shall surely live. Because he is warned, and also thou hast delivered thine own soul. That's the only thing we owe the human race. Does that come in okay? Maybe warn them not. The blood is on your hands, on your head. That's why I talk so often about those in your world. You have to let them know, you have to warn them that the flesh is nothing. Their ideas are fruitless. Their activities are vain. That's the whole world. It doesn't matter whether it's politics or religion or anything else. If you don't warn them, the blood's on your hands. Because we are all called to be watchmen. But you can't be a watchman if you're still trying to figure it out. And that's okay. But if you think you've figured it out and don't warn, then that's not okay.
What's a watchman?
One who cares for the ones that are in his world. But all of us are watchmen if you're a believer. Does that communicate? Anybody have any response to that?
For me, it's a struggle in a sense. Maybe that's the right word. To be in the world and do the things that I do and have to do in the world. But Jesus said, I'm not asking you to be taken from the world, but they'd be, not subject to the wicked one or the enemy.
Well, where does it say that?
In the New Testament.
I know that because Jesus said it, but where?
You want me to find it?
Well, if it says for you to stay in the world, yeah.
Well, he says it says it exactly that. Precisely that. So I'm going to have to find it for you, I guess.
Well, you can find it tomorrow.
I'll find it tomorrow, but yeah, that's what it said. So we're in the world.
But never of it.
We're not of it, exactly.
All of us are in the world, again, time and space.
Right.
But we're not of it if you're a believer. In other words, there's nothing in the world. You're crucified unto the world.
Yeah, but the problem is doing stuff in the world and having to be part of the activities of life and remaining a believer. And living by faith still, even though you're there in the mix.
But it says we're in it, but not of it.
That doesn't mean anything unless you describe what of it means.
It means you're gaining your sustenance and satisfaction from the world.
Sustenance, food?
Anything.
Satisfaction. I find if you're walking with God, everywhere your foot touches, if you see Him in all things, it doesn't matter where you are, in this room or out fixing a house, He's there.
Well, He's everywhere. That's not the point. The point is, as a disciple, you're not of the world.
Holy, that doesn't mean anything, of the world.
What it means is there's nothing in the world that you love. And the verb form is agapeo, which means give importance to. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. The one that we just studied in Jude says it even more strongly.
I think the scripture that Gary's talking about is John 17, where he says, I pray that thou shouldest not take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from the evil. But then it goes on to say, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world.
Yeah, keep them from the evil.
Evil one. It's always evil one. And that's this.
Yeah, that's what
okay.
It says.
In chapter 4, verse 4 of James, you adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. It says it even stronger there than it does in 1 John says love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I mean, these are huge that each of us have to face. We're in the world for only, we're in it because the bride is still has people that needs. I mean, there are some that are still called in the world. And we are to be their instrument of being called out of the world. I mean, these are the most ignored scriptures in modern Christianity. Why? Because we got, just look at what just happened. We have a whole raft of preachers that are involved in politics. Well, then that gives everybody else that's involved in politics the thing that they think that's what they're supposed to do. And it's just, I mean, it's... What modern, that's the problem. Modern Christianity is all mixed in with the world.
You know what? We talked about that, actually, Joyce and I coming back, and it's like they're given over to the spirit of the age and whatever events are taking place in the world, and politics expresses that dramatically. And so they've taken what is spiritual, mixed it with politics, entered into the spirit of this time frame rather than eternity, and they're getting their life from feeding off of political sayings and tidbits, sound bites. And that's part of how I see the world. Frankly, for me, just saying the senses doesn't penetrate the meanings of those senses. That's why I'm kind of pressing it. It's, if I don't understand it, I'm not. I walk out with nothing.
Well, all I'm saying is that each one of us have to somehow address. There's numerous other places. These. Scriptures in 2 John, the scriptures in James, the scriptures in Jude. You can't just wipe them over with something and not test your life and your, because these are the preaching of the cross.
Yeah.
And if there's no repentance, then the preaching of the cross is fruitless. But it's the repentance that happens when that's why the repentance of the cross, I mean the preaching of the cross produces the repentance. Repentance is what releases the power of God in you. But if you can't repent from it because you don't see anything wrong with it, then there's a whole world of Christianity that isn't experiencing the power of God because there's no repentance from the things of the world. I read that Edersheim book, as I've told you again, and right now I'm starting to read Eusebius again, and Eusebius is the only one that wrote down the history of the first 300 years of the church. I mean, he's as a historian, and it's amazing how quickly that the church opted for the world. I mean, it's like it didn't even take one generation before much of the church got mixed back up with the world. And to me, the problem is they see nothing wrong with it. In fact, they've got this whole idea that God either wants them to be rich, or God either wants a godly president or congress or whatever. It's just crazy. Like, I didn't even see that crap. We get put God's name in everything outside that, to, in order that they can participate in it.
I kind of question that a little. And, you know, you say God doesn't even see it. You know, there's no place that He is not. So to say He doesn't even see it doesn't calculate.
Well, it says it in Isaiah. It says He does not. He cannot look upon iniquity.
Find iniquity in this room.
Huh?
You don't have to go far to find iniquity. I mean, it's this room in the White House, it's the same thing. Iniquity is iniquity.
Iniquity is, remember, all the time that iniquity is used, it's used with regard to the fruit of the fall. The fruit of the fall is self-seeking.
Wherever a man is, that's...
Well, they better repent of it then. I mean, don't you believe me that it says that? Isaiah 59.
I believe it says that, fine, but did you hear my response?
Yeah, but did you hear mine?
I say you can find iniquity wherever a man is. Whether it's
if they're not repenting of it, then there is no church.
And so there's the same here, or
I pray it's not the same here.
I mean, we're subject to the same problem.
Oh, no question. But the point is, do we respond as a Gentile, or do we respond as a believer?
I think my point is being able to see correctly politics, even. Because it is a thing out there, and you can't say it's not something. And it's trapped so many people. And if we're the watchmen, then when we speak to it, there has to be some communication, or we're just shooting the breeze.
Your sins and iniquities, your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you, that He will not hear or see. He sees us as, that's what born again, when you're with Him from the beginning. So what He sees isn't what we imagine He sees. What He sees is the church, the bride.
And we have endeavored in clinging to the message of the cross to be in that place where we will see Him. That's our objective, our life. I guess that's our message. That's
the message, is the emptiness and vanity of human life, human activities, of all the plans, all the ideas, all the tomorrows. That's the message of the cross. That's what you're called as a watchman. What shall I cry? All flesh is as grass, and the glory of flesh is as a flower of the grass. Yeah.
Peter came to Jesus, the only reason you talk about politics and how do you call it, religion. Peter came to Jesus, told him, Jesus, whoever's over there, he's praying under your name. He's bending demons.
I don't know where you're talking about that from.
New Testament. He came to Jesus. Peter came to Jesus. He's not one of ours. What can we do? Jesus told him, leave him alone.
Leave him alone.
You with me, you with us.
Right. No, I agree totally. But if he has come to a place of brokenness and he sees the vanity, then he's potentially one of God's. You understand that as long the issue is self-seeking. This is the issue. Betterment of the independent self. That's the illusion that the whole world is lying under. That's the original sin. That's all of, that's the evil. To bettering yourself. And to do it in the name of God is mind-bendingly more evil. Now, but all are subject to self-seeking because that's the fruit of the fall. So we must be converted and become as that little child. That's, and you become as that little child by repenting of everything in the world and of the world and every place you're in it, you repent of it. That's how you become the little child.
It engages this judging what's good and what's evil.
Do what?
Judging what is good and what is evil. That's the fruit of the fall, as we wanted to.
Well, the fruit
have
of the fall
ability.
Is
ability.
The fruit of the fall is self-seeking.
But the source of it was wanting to know for ourselves.
Be as God.
What is right? What's wrong? Do this. Don't do that.
Be as God.
Right.
No question.
So the repentance point would be stop judging what's good and what's evil. Let that be God's business. And
no, stop judging it. That's part of it, but the fruit of it is that you no longer give any breath to your own being. You don't try to do good or not bad. You get out of the world. System. Totally.
What do you mean by that? Stop working? Stop hovering?
Whatever. I mean,
the way you say it, it sounds like stay home and wait for the end or something. I don't know what you mean by it when you say it that way.
Well, you know, all I know is that's what the scriptures say.
To do what? Get out of
the world. Get out of the world. If you're in the world,
we just read that Jesus says, "I don't say get out of the world. I say keep them from the evil one, because we are in the world, but we are prayerfully kept from the evil one during whatever activity."
Who is the evil one?
The self.
Right.
Yeah.
So isn't that the same thing as what I said?
The way you said it made it sound like stop going out into the world and then you're safe.
And then you can be a believer.
I don't think I said that.
You didn't say it exactly that way. I'm telling you how I'm interpreting what I hear. And I totally could be wrong. I'm not.
Well, somehow each of us has to be crucified unto the world, and the world then is crucified unto us.
Right.
How that gets there, that's the Holy Spirit's business. All I know is that I have to preach the cross. And the cross is total abandonment of self.
And that's no matter where your body happens to be.
What?
And that's no matter where you are, here, out there, wherever it is. What you just said, I think, is absolutely right. You have to abandon self continually.
But do you think it's possible you have to abandon the use of your mind?
No, not really.
I know. And that's where you and I have a major difference.
Yeah, but I don't think you abandon the use of your mind. If you say
I've never said I have arrived at anywhere.
Okay.
So but maybe, by God, whenever I see I'm using my mind, I repent of it.
Well, maybe it's the way a mind is being used. I mean, this has been going on for a long time, and there's no conclusion here to this point. So the idea of not using your mind has some validity, I'm saying, for my own self. But you, it's got to be defined as what does it mean, or it just...
It means the same thing he told his apostles, abandon yourself. Abandon all of you. And what is you is you is your mind. I mean, all I'm asking anybody to do, wherever they are, whatever is going, if your life doesn't measure up to the cross that you repent, and that's what. But you can't repent of something that you think is good. That's what we've said 1,000 times. And so it's the finding out that all is empty, all is vain, and that takes time. That's what we've just studied, the amount of time it took in each of the so-called heroes of the faith, whether it be Abraham or Moses or Paul. But don't ever justify something that the scriptures say is you shouldn't, because then you can't repent of it. And that's all I'm ever saying. Well, that's
just as something that happened here, like in thinking about this mind phenomena. You know, my mind is a liar. I know that, and it proves itself frequently in my activities and life. And that's where I see where you say the resurrection of the Antichrist. Well, it's this mind comes in subtly and finds its way in and starts convincing me that this and that and this and that. And in that sense, what we're talking about right now makes sense, because it's not that I'm using my mind, but my mind is more using me. And when that happens, and when I see it, then I can repent, because I get it. It's happening, and I see it, and I have some ability to discern from good and evil, from, you know, spiritual right and wrong, so to speak. And then it all makes sense, and I can turn from that.
That's all you can do, is you can only turn from what you see is evil or wrong.
Yeah.
You can't turn from something you think is good. And that's been my message for 40 years. That's why I've encouraged all the kids to go push the barriers as far as you can. Don't just believe something because somebody tells you it. Find out for yourself that all is empty, all is vain. All is a puff of smoke. That's the whole book of the Ecclesiastes. But if you think part of what you're doing now is good, then there's no possibility of repenting from it. Amen?
Amen.
Take a big time.